Hi, I'm Jean Tewitt, and I'm an actress. You probably have never heard of me, or maybe you have. I'm in SAG-AFTRA, and I'm on IMDb, but I've been kind of at this acting game for like 20 years. I'm like most of the actors on the planet. There's about 1.7 million of us, but I'm among the 150,000 or so in SAG-AFTRA, you know, as I scramble to keep up with my dues while I work other jobs and careers. That was the biggest thing that occurred to me as kind of a aha moment, but also sort of a little bit regretful when I first caught the acting bug. In 2003, the first time I moved out to Los Angeles, I sort of thought, wow, this is so cool. Of course, at the time, I was just doing extra work, you know. I was basically on sets almost every day back in 2003 and 2004, 2005, 6, 7, 8. And then I did substitute teaching in between, but I could be on big TV shows and big film sets, big Hollywood productions, but I was just an extra, and I was non-union at the time, so I worked a lot. I was in my 40s, but I kept going to acting classes and doing substitute teaching from time to time, which I'd done before. I sort of left the temp office insurance thing behind, as I used to sell insurance in Texas, and tried to get back into the news business, which I used to do, but my biggest concern, or I guess, as I said earlier, regret, is that, or I guess it's just sort of like reality, is that most actors still have to have other jobs and businesses, you know, because the whole extra work thing doesn't last forever, and that's not really being an actor anyway, but, you know, unless you win the lotto or whatever, like, you know, have some other means of income. If you're an older single or younger single, or, you know, or even if you're married and your spouse requires you to work a lot, like most people nowadays, I kind of grew up a little bit old-fashioned, although I've worked all my life. I always thought that, you know, I'd meet someone and then, you know, I wouldn't have to work anymore and I could just be Susie Homemaker and sit home and bake cookies and sew and make lunches for the kids and you know, and have kids and everything. I've dated a lot and everything, but anyway, I've been married once, but that's the only catch about being an actor. If you catch the acting bug, there's a 99% chance, especially at the beginning, that you'll always have to work other jobs. In fact, most actors, even the successful ones that have booked a series regular on television or in film, they all start other businesses. You know, they sell clothes or tequila or wine or jewelry or all kinds of things. But basically, it's unlike any other career, or I guess there's a lot of careers kind of like that, because when I first sold insurance on strictly commission, which is pretty tough to do, I mean, that's kind of like being a strictly commissioned agent is similar to being an actor or a substitute teacher or temp office, because there's no guarantee, you know, on your income. But basically, you have to continue with your other job or business. It's kind of like, you know, like the good with the bad. But you know what? If you love acting, you won't quit acting. People say, well, why do you keep doing it? I mean, you've made money at it on and off, but you've never made a lot of money at it. You'll never be, and you know, I don't want to say which ones they've voted big stars that may or may not be older than me or younger than me, but because I did it so late in life. I mean, when I was younger, I was, of course, I was slim and young and all that, more attractive like we all were when we were younger. I could have gone maybe to Broadway or off-Broadway and done dancing, because I did recitals growing up and one of my teachers used to, growing up in dancing classes, used to dance for the BBC in Britain, you know, similar to our Broadway shows. And she said, oh, you and your friend, my other friend that wanted to do that and go to New York with me, she thought we would both do pretty well. We were good enough dancers to at least get in the chorus. But at the time, our parents weren't real high on it, and they kept kind of like ping-ponging it back and forth. Well, if her mother will let you do it, then maybe so. And then her mother said, well, if your mother will let you do it, and then it just sort of died on the vine, as they say. But basically, then I decided I wanted to be the next Barbara Walters. And so I got a degree in journalism and worked in a number of small newspapers. But back in high school, actually, I was in a number of musicals. I did the lead dancing for Brigadoon, Bonnie Jean, and I even had to teach the lead how to dance. Let's see, I was King and I, and just some various musicals, really very small roles, mostly dancing roles, Steve. But the first time I moved out to L.A. in 2003, I thought, well, I'll be a big screenwriter, because I'd been in the news business a long time, but I never made the big time in that either. So I decided I would do that. I worked at a number of small papers, reporter, editor, photographer, kind of like you had to do everything at these small newspapers. And I did that for a long time in my 20s before I had to sell insurance peddling that. So, and then later on I caught the substitute teaching, and then when my mom passed from cancer, I decided, and my dad had passed after that too later, I decided, well, I'll venture out. I'd always kind of wanted to go out to Hollywood or New York, but I didn't really have the confidence that I could make it. Actually, it's more of a, that I could ever make it financially. I mean, I have a kind of a tough go of it sometimes in Texas. Just I'm older, and I'm, you know, I'm kind of at older age where, anyway, without... Basically, I need to work more to supplement my income, you know, as it goes. But, you know, you might catch me at Dollar Tree sometimes, catching their sale and asking why something went up from $1.25 to $3 when it used to be only $1. I mean, that's kind of not good. That's for another day. But anyway, talk about our manifesting money in abundance, getting rid of our scarcity mindset and everything. But but basically, that's the whole thing about acting. If you catch the bug, you need to really hang on to other jobs or careers, or keep your skills up, whether it's temp office, substitute teaching, being a cashier, which I've done. I did that a couple years ago, and then I did the whole you know, call center thing for insurance companies. I may be doing some strictly commission insurance work again soon. And then, of course, I've moved back and forth a number of times between L.A. and Texas, and lived in Dallas, and where I'm from, and Austin, and now I'm in Waco, which is between the two cities. But it's really very interesting, actually. There's so much to it. I mean, you have to, you know, go ahead and submit yourself for different projects. I've had various different agents. I mean, there's really no guarantee on any of it, really. It's it just sort of continues and continues, you know. You can see some of my small roles up on IMDb. It's kind of fun in a way, because you get to, like, occasionally book a role of something you always dreamed of being. At one point, I even thought about going to law school. I've had so many different careers. I just didn't pass the LSAT, which I have a creative mind and a very high IQ. It's like 152 or something, but it's more of a creative mind. I don't really have ADHD, but it's not your analytical attorney mind, that's for sure. So anyway, and then I tried to pass the stockbroker test, and I missed that, but I ended up passing the insurance test, which is not easy either. In fact, that thing keeps getting harder and harder. But I did all that. I did have the one for mutual funds at Prudential, but, you know, the one to be a full stockbroker. In fact, I've been inspired most of my life, maybe some people have been too, by movies. When I saw All the President's Men, then I wanted to go to journalism school, and then I wanted to be the next Barbara Walters, and then I did that at all kinds of small newspapers, reporter, editor, photographer, basically covering city council, school board. And if you hear that noise, I don't have a voiceover office right now. In fact, I've never had one. I've had some voiceover software before, and I've sort of learned how to record that, but hopefully you can't hear. There's a bunch of kids outside playing at my apartment complex. But anyway, so, but that's another thing that you can do. You can learn, you know, voiceover and commercials. So I've taken classes and all these things and do audio books, but it's competitive to do all of that. You have to be very disciplined. But back to the other, yes, I've had a number of jobs and careers, and I've moved back and forth between Texas and California various times. But, and I never totally decided, okay, I'm quitting acting, because I just can't. It's I enjoy it. It's it really was helpful for me after my mom passed to cancer, and it's kind of fun to play a lot of different roles, because I was sort of raised to be seen and not heard, which, you know, with somebody that likes to talk and has never been super skinny, although I've been pretty skinny before. Let's see, I'm 5'5", and even back in high school, I even got down to like 113 before, when I was dancing a lot. And then I played tennis and swimming and swim team. We used to swim a mile a day, and, you know, but I'm more of an older, you know, character actress, although I look young for my age. One of my agents when I was in LA said, oh, well, it doesn't matter that you're chubby, because you're of that age where women tend to be chubby anyway, you know, the whole hormone thing. So, but basically, you know, if you catch the acting bug, it sort of catches you. There's some different books on it. I believe it was Bernard Hiller has a book on it. Acting sort of catches you. It's sort of like, instead of you just catching the acting bug, it's sort of like it finds you, and you just have to, something you have to do. But yeah, that's the catch in it, you know, regardless of whether you're successful or not, and especially if you're not financially successful as an actor, or at least not yet. I'm trying to work on my positive thinking. Up until now, I haven't been, but up until now, and that type of thing, and who knows, maybe tomorrow, maybe today, I'm thinking as if I am successful at it and all that stuff. I've had more books and classes, and I've spent, well, not quite as much on that kind of stuff as I have on acting classes, but pretty close, because I've been in sales, you know, selling insurance, and before that I sold advertising too. One of the times I made pretty good money doing that. I mean, that when you say pretty good money, it's middle class to lower middle class. I was raised middle class, but you know, we usually had food on the table and that type of thing. We did pretty well. My dad worked very hard selling electrical products and was an engineer, but he sold electrical products for overhead lighting and sockets and outlets and everything. He was a manufacturer's rep for various companies. But I believe he used to work for Lightcraft of California like several decades ago, go out to LA, but he mostly drove around Texas, you know. And, but, you know, I guess I sort of get that sort of, like being a peddler, like, you know, basically, in a lot of ways, although not actors wouldn't want to say, but of all the different jobs and careers I have, including being a reporter, editor, and even being a dancer growing up and everything. And then I did a little bit with artwork. I've never, like I said, I tend to like to do a lot of different things, which for me being an actor is a natural fit for that because I like playing a lot of different characters. But in order to actually sort of catch on, although you're inundated with your competition, you know, as far as, I only have like YouTube 96 subscribers now again. So, basically, you're inundated with all this competition, but the big catch is that you have to constantly be promoting yourself, and you have to kind of, and you can do that for free now with the online situation. I have had a number of headshots over the years and everything, but I do self-tape all my own auditions, and I can post some of them on YouTube and such. But basically, the catch is as you're doing all that and you're trying to promote yourself, you're supposed to sort of promote yourself as a brand first. Like, I guess for me, like, the roles that I've had that have kind of rung through, like attorney, you know, woman attorney, woman judge, if you look at my IMDb, teacher, bookstore owner, mom, although in real life I've never actually been a mom, except I've always had pets. I've been a mom to my pets, and I've been sort of like a day mom to like thousands and thousands of students. I've been a substitute teacher all over Texas and California, SoCal, all over everything from Watts to Malibu out there, and also in Texas, you know, in Austin and North Texas, all over several suburbs and everything. But, you know, and substitute teaching is a good way to make a living too as an actor, and in selling. A lot of them are real estate agents, or even I've met some also that sold insurance, anything on a commission where, you know, you can work your schedule kind of around it, your auditions. Although now you can tape your own auditions if you have the right lighting. You can do your auditions at midnight, you know, in your apartment or house or whatever. But basically, back to branding, if you're somebody like me that likes to play a lot of different characters, and I'm very versatile, I had a little bit of a rough go of it, to put it mildly, with my father. Growing up, he was always trying to make us all kind of tough. So, that's a whole other story for another day. But basically, I'm very versatile and I can play a lot of different roles. But when you're first kind of promoting yourself, it's just for those very small roles, just a few lines, and it's like a character. And it's not just saying I'm an attorney or judge. It's like, you have to put your personality into it, like the sort of the dogmatic, or like the just sort of plodding along type of personality, or maybe your high-strung personality that's the attorney, or super cool, or, you know, you kind of combine it into a sort of a brand type of character that normally goes along with that. I could be like a stereotypical older single, sort of like a cougar party girl type of thing. Although right now I'm a little chubby for that, but you know, a lot of women are chubby, as that other agent pointed out. I believe he's retired. I've had many different agents, and there's my cat. But anyway, this is my first podcast for this Apple podcast. So, and this is great. I love Apple. I love watching all the shows on Apple. But I like having a YouTube channel. I really enjoy that too. But basically, it just sort of catches you. If you catch it, you won't put it down. And, you know, I think I'll probably make some money at it on and off. But I think I'm more than likely, unless I win the lottery or marry well for the first time in my life, which I haven't had a lot of luck with romance anyway, although I have some, but that's another day, okay? Let's not get my jumping subjects on everybody. So, but basically, no, I'm sorry. I'm working on it. So basically, you know, it's just once you catch the acting bug, it's kind of like wanting to be a musician, or if you love animals, it's like people, they, you know, when their animals become elderly and they pass away, like when my cat Oscar passed away, I thought, oh, I probably won't get another cat. And sure enough, I ran out, and now I have my cat Austin. When my dog Emmy passed away, I ran out and got Tony, my other little dog I have. So it's like a lot of people will say, well, I'll never have kids again, or I'll never get married again, or I'll never, you know, I've said to myself, I'll never sell insurance again, which I may have to make some bills, because I've worked all my life, but I've never made much money, so I can't really afford to live on any kind of retirement or anything. But basically, my grandmother lived almost to 99 to 100, so I've got a lot of work to do if I want to get back to being able to afford to travel and do some things again with my life. But that's the challenge, is when you catch the acting bug, or any other thing that you might enjoy doing, like if you like to do sewing or cooking or music, or could be a number of things, you're an artist. I mean, you might become so successful at it you can make a living at it and never have to do another job again, but I will tell you this, it's a lot harder than it looks. And I have sort of a respect for most people that have made it. Now, as long as they made it, most actors have made it the right way. They worked very hard, and they trained very hard, worked with different agents to get lots of different auditions. They got a lot of their auditions on their own. A lot of them even went to film school and made their own films and wrote their own screenplays. And I mean, it's all about the story, really. It's about having something to say. One of my favorite acting teachers, who had passed away in her 90s, Joanne Linville, she actually trained Mark Ruffalo. She trained Selma Hayek and the guy that played Kramer on Seinfeld. I can't think of his name right now. But anyway, she's trained different people, but I guess the most well-known one is Mark Ruffalo. Although her son, Christopher Rydell, who's the son of Mark Rydell, who directed On Golden Pond, her son was the boy in On Golden Pond, and now he's a lot older now. But basically, she trained a lot of people, including her son, and he's been in a number of movies, but he's always had to have another job or business, including, I think he sells real estate now, but including Joanne did. And then she did some voiceovers and things. She's in a number of movies. If you look her up, she was on the original Star Trek and everything. And I thought that was interesting because I had met William Shatner one time when he came to our school, but because he knew one of my teacher's husbands back in elementary school. But basically, that's kind of it. I mean, you know, it is what it is, you know. It's not a fairy tale. It's not like some lucky thing. A few people it is, but sooner or later, the luck runs out, the money runs out. Even the talent can run out. I mean, but you have to regenerate it. You have to recreate the talent. You have to give birth to your talent each time and basically regenerate, reinvent yourself. It's just not as easy as it looks, okay? Like any other job. I mean, it's so much fun. Everything can be like bukus of fun until you want to try to make money at it. Then it becomes a profession, you know. For example, if I was just to try to go peddling, which I might be doing that again, insurance again, and just a way, fun way to meet new friends and everything, that's great, okay? But sooner or later, I'm going to have to close some sales, or even if I get a gas allowance, it's not worth it. You know, I've got to start closing some deals. And the thing of it is a lot of people don't understand a lot of careers or jobs, you know, and they just start talking, especially on the internet, without really knowing about that job or career. And most jobs or careers are just a lot harder than they look, okay? I mean, even when I worked one time, and as I've worked a few times actually doing retail and in the call center, it's really harder than like strictly commission, where you can prepare your presentation and then you either go see them or talk about it on the phone or on Zoom or something, but you have it prepared ahead of time and then you're ready for the answers. You know, when you're in a store as a retail clerk and somebody's staring right at you, it's pretty tough. But, or like if you're in a restaurant, I still want to be a bartender. Taking a little few classes in that too. That goes great with being an actor. But it's all about realizing that more than likely you still need to hang on to your other skills and have other jobs that you can make money at. I can't stress that enough. I just don't want somebody else to get. Now I'm working myself out of this situation. Now I did always work, okay, don't get me wrong. I didn't just like totally go for broke on the acting thing. Although some people probably thought that. But no, I always worked and I always tried to find a cheaper apartment, even if it meant I had to move back to Texas. And I had lived in a lot of small places. You know, like right now I live in a very small apartment, but I've lived in some very small apartments out in Los Angeles also. I did live in some newer buildings from time to time when they had a big move-in special. But sooner or later, those specials, you know, go away, you know. So, but I lived in all kinds of places, all kinds of scenarios. Oh my gosh, if I could just sit down and start writing screenplays, which I have started some, just about all kinds of things I've been through in life. But, I mean, talk about ideas from that. I've been through all kinds of scenarios just running from different places out in LA or even in Texas. I mean, there's stories everywhere. So if you want to create your own story and find people that you can put the film together with, that's even better. And you can film it on your iPhone or iPad. In fact, there was a recent contest. I just couldn't get it done in time for the holidays. It was like everything was due on Christmas Eve, no, New Year's Eve, but anyway, I'm kind of on a tight budget right now too, but there are just so many ways to express yourself. And back to what Joanne always says, it's really about the story. It's like, and you have something to say, and obviously I like to talk, but it's like you may have something to say. I may eventually put together some different films based on different things that I went through when I was younger, growing up, or different jobs or careers I've had. I've started a sundry of different scripts, but it's hard to kind of get it past the first scene, you know, because then it gets into, you know, I don't know whether I'm just talking myself out of it, but in the meantime, we gotta make a living. You gotta pay the bills. You gotta do this. You gotta do that. You gotta, you know, maybe do some housework, clean the place, you know, whatever it is. You've got other things come up. You've gotta go to your job. You've gotta, you know, whatever. So, in some ways, if you're tied on money, being an actor, although many people would debate this, might even be a little easier, though you do have to spend some money on headshots and resumes, although now you could figure out how to get someone to do it for you inexpensively, although I said the more professional they are, I probably need some new ones myself, although I do know some actors that take their own headshot resumes, do all that themselves, or get another actor to do it. Because we have to self-tape all our own auditions now, and then we have to do all our hair and makeup. That was one thing fun about being extra, with the exception of the time that one time they got a hold of me and pulled my hair so tight I had a headache for days, or you know, they pulled my hair up into a tight bun, and I had the worst headache. They pulled my hair too much, and early in the morning too, without coffee, it's like, oh my God. And another time they put so much hairspray on my hair, it took like a whole bottle or two of clean rinse to get all that out, because they had teased it up really tight too. But anyway, some hairstylists, I think, wanted to just play with my hair, which was okay. I mean, a lot of times you would find on a set, because that was back before the economic crunch, you know, like in between scenes, some hairstylist, just even if you were just an extra, some of the hairstylists or makeup ladies could work on you, you know, to try to... I do think I have the kind of look where people know that I could look better if I tried harder, or if somebody tried harder. Not just me on my diet or exercise program, but hair, makeup, wardrobe, you know, all that. So it's a lot of work what these people go through to look like they do and act like they do and get in front of the right people. I think a lot of times I haven't had the courage to go up to people, even when I've seen them or say something, or I didn't even know who they were until later. For example, one time, not to go into any details, one time as I was substitute teaching at a school, I talked to Brad Pitt for just a few seconds, didn't even know it was him until another teacher comes running down the hall saying that was him, and he picked up the homework for his kids, and he said he didn't need any help. He knew where it was. One time, I actually met Harvey Weinstein. That's a whole other story for a different day, at a party thing. But he'd given me his card, but then it didn't register till later who he was. I think for the first time I moved to LA in 2003, I was just kind of like starstruck, because I had gone out there for a friend of mine's wedding. She had a destination wedding out there, even though she's from Texas. And I just sort of caught that bug, you know, out there, because I'd always kind of wanted to do. And like I said, movies have always inspired me back to the original. When I saw All the President's Men, then I wanted to be a news reporter. And then I did that. I majored in journalism. Actually, when I saw the movie Wall Street, all of a sudden, then I wanted to be a stockbroker. And I took a close second by being a registered rep at Prudential, and I sold insurance on strictly commission, but I also was able to sell burial products and mutual funds. And I think, don't have all those licenses, but I do have the license just to sell insurance again. But there's been lots of different movies I've seen. I always really enjoyed watching movies about actors, like Tootsie, about actors, you know. That was such a great movie, if you've never seen Tootsie. All about actors. Actors, actors, actors. And any kind of movie, I like watching all the older movies about actors. I like and what it was like for them to be actors or writers. Any kind of movies about the industry have always appealed to me. It was always something I really kind of wanted to do, but I just, you know, I was sort of raised to be kind of like a realist, like maybe overly realist, like it just was out of sight of my frame of reference to make a living doing that, or doing this, well, this. Okay, so anyway, so I'm going to go now, because this has been a long time, and this will be my first podcast, and my cat is fixing to knock off some magazines, and I've also heard my pets in the back, but anyway, I'm going to have to upload this now, so over and out, and we'll talk again another day, or I guess I'll talk and you'll listen, and then sometime I'll have a Q&A maybe. I'm going to maybe put together some little acting classes and different things, where I have some different Q&A sessions and things. I guess I might have to do that on another venue. But what I really thought was cool about podcast, I don't have to worry about the hair and makeup thing, you know. And I know I should dress up more for my YouTube videos. I will probably. Sometimes I actually do. And my place is really small, and it's hard to turn the camera around. I've had to do, like, selfie videos, which are not as great as, you know, standing back behind the camera, you know, like setting it up like a regular film set, like you, the way you're supposed to do your auditions. But anyway, I'm going to go, and whatever you do, have fun. And if you're in LA, my heart is just going out to all of you. I just can't even believe it. I'm still sort of in a state of shock about it, because I haven't been out there in 4, maybe almost 5 years now, 4 to 5 years. It's been a long time. I moved back during the pandemic. I hadn't moved back out there before the pandemic, but the first time I moved out of there was during the first actor strike back in like 2008, I guess it was. The first actor strike, the writer's strike, I guess. But I've had some decent auditions occasionally, but for whatever reason, we'll go into that another day. Some of my better auditions that might have been my pivotal moment. You have those few. I think maybe I put too much pressure on myself when I had those pivotal moment. Actually, auditions. I researched the roles and found out that I would have been playing scenes, small scenes, but nevertheless scenes with big name actors. Yeah, that's my cat. And so we're all very verbal around here. So even my dog is, if somebody's at the door or such. But yeah, so that's how it works. And there's a lot to it, but yeah, I think I psyched myself out on some of getting some better roles, because when the agents didn't even tell me what the role was. Now, I haven't really had that many auditions in 20 years. I'll be honest with you. That is probably the toughest part of this business, is getting a decent audition for a decent project that will actually pay you, okay? That you know they're good for it and everything. And if you love doing it, you know, at first you'll do so much stuff for free, see? So, but anyway, we'll get into all that another day. And I'm gonna go now. And if you have any questions, don't hesitate to look for me. I'm all over the place. Me and a whole bunch of other people trying to get attention. Okay, so, okay, gotta run. Okay, everybody, bye.